Our Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 42. For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools. And I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. In paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. They are turned back and utterly put to shame, who trust in carved idols, who say to metal images, "You are our gods." Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as the servant of the Lord? He sees many things, but he does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear. The Lord was pleased for his righteousness' sake to magnify his law and make it glorious. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Ephesians chapter 5. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John from chapter 9. As Jesus passed by, he saw a blind man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which meant sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "How then were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he? Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I was washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such things?" And they were as a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight, until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight, and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. They said to him, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I have already told you, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear again? Do you also want to become his disciples? And they reviled him, saying, You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, You were born in utter sin, and you would teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. This is the word of the Lord. Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's always amazed me how if you asked a general layperson what their favorite gospel, or even more general book of the Bible was, John would win in the plurality. I chalk it up to the poetry of John's introduction. In the beginning was the Word, and to John 3:16. I marvel at it because if you read the context of those lines, or if you listen to some of the less immediately memorized passages, you get John's relentless dualism. In passages such as this one, Jesus said, For judgment I came into this world, and those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. I would be hard-pressed to find the biblical verse more out of step with the American times. There's a second reason that I marvel. Americans always tended to be a straightforward people. We're the people who invented phrases like get to the point. And the universal program to enforce the point, Microsoft PowerPoint. Give me the bullet points and stop confusing me with potential layers of meaning. John tells stories about Jesus that lift the veil ever so slightly for those with eyes to see. The people in John, like the man born blind, are at the same time the man born blind and an embodied reality of a spiritual truth. John is attempting to open our eyes to the deeper world that we live in, a world where the physical and the spiritual meet and blend and influence each other. John doesn't give us the bullet points, but expects us, under the guidance of the Spirit, to see. We might call this the story of the man born blind, but there are actually three stories embedded in John chapter 9. The man born blind, the story of his parents, and the story of the Pharisees. Trying to translate John for that American audience, I think there are four bullet points. Jesus and his word are the light, the acts of God. They are offered without price. Our reaction to the light places us on a spiritual path. Those reactions create a division, a judgment. Those reactions also instill judgment, either sighted or blind, spiritually wise or foolish. First, I want to trace that story of the man born blind. Notice how it starts. Jesus' disciples spy the man as they are walking by, and they ask a question: who sinned? They're confronted with this act of God, and what they want to do is nail down the person responsible. The important element is he was blind since birth. It couldn't be the man himself. So the disciples are asking that point of law, since the law contains the idea that God visits the iniquities of the fathers upon the sons to the third and fourth generation. Who do we go after? Or maybe more importantly, just who do we blame? So we can keep our world coherent. I think we are tempted to brush over Jesus' reply too easily. There is the kindly neither sins, which stops our witch hunts. But there's also the ominous works of God. The man was born blind, suffered years of blindness, so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Who do we blame? God. If you want to go down the path of the law, it's his creation. Our ultimate problems are wrestling with God. What is the purpose of the fallen world? A world that is growing. What is the purpose of the cross? That the works of God might be displayed. This is a tough say. And what are these works? Jesus displays them both. Back in the pretty poetry of John's prologue, John reminds us that all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made, including this man born blind. So the Creator picks up some of the dust from which we came, dust which he himself now shares, and from that dust mixes it and rubs the man's eyes. Our first physical birth is the act of God. And Jesus demonstrates that here. Likewise, our second birth is an act of God. Go, wash in the pool. The one who made us physically of mud by an act of God also makes us spiritually through water and the Spirit by an act of God. And confronted with the act and the command of God, go and baptize all nations, teaching them. Go and wash. Our spiritual path depends upon our response to that word of God. He went and washed and came back seeing. Obedience to the word of God leads to sight. We believe to be able to see, because where Christ is, there is the light. And such obedience is often put through the time of trial. The light shines in the darkness. We do these works as long as it is day. Jesus did this act on the Sabbath. He did the work of God on the Sabbath, which causes confusion among the Pharisees, ultimately leading to the interrogation of the formerly blind man. What do you say about him? Do we remain faithful under testing, or do we become unfaithful servants? This man answers, he is a prophet. To the best of what he knows, he remains faithful. He confesses the faith even when he is ridiculed and thrown out of fellowship with those in power in the world and the synagogue. But to those that have, more is given. Jesus, hearing that they cast him out, found him and reveals himself more fully, which brings forth the man's full confession of faith and his worship. The man born blind is a picture of conversion and spiritual birth and life. Confronted by the act of God, even one as tough as you were blind, so that God's works could be displayed, the man obeyed. He obeyed the word and trusted in the goodness of his Creator. Jesus and his word are the light of the world. The words might be tough. We might not even at the moment have a full understanding. But Jesus tells us to believe, to trust the Father. And he himself trusted the Father all the way to the cross and to the tomb. And he did so because this physical creation is not all that God is doing. The works of God are also the new creation, born of water and the Spirit, brought to fullness in the resurrection, which we will see with our own eyes. There's a parallel story moving in the opposite direction. The Pharisees. They too are confronted with an act of God. A man born blind who can now see stands in front of them and is confessing the prophet. Now this act of God also confronts how they make sense of the world. The Pharisees had all kinds of traditions guarding the Sabbath law. What does it mean to keep the Sabbath holy? The ensuing Jewish generations had added to the simple understanding of a day set aside to seek God. There's always a conventional wisdom of what the good and proper thing to do is. The good and the great of the world always have their private morality. But Jesus, the light of the world, shows up working. Jesus shows up working contrary to the prevailing wisdom. He shows up working in the form of this formerly blind man who says he's a prophet. And he also then asks them, "Do you want to be his disciple?" The Pharisees, confronted with the word of God, start off with division. Some said he can't be from God because he doesn't keep the Sabbath. While others said, how can a sinner do such things? They move on to denial and destruction. After the blind man's confession, they call in his parents, seeking to undermine the act and the messenger. And after denial, to outright hostility to this act of God. We know God. We don't know where this Jesus comes from. To which the formerly blind man answers, "This is an amazing thing. You don't know where he comes from, but he opened my eyes. If anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him." The last witness, after which they cast the seeing man out of their polite, blind society. As the blind man hears the word and obeys, and so is given sight, is judged and given judgment. So also the Pharisees who hear the word and reject it are made blind, are judged and made foolish. They prefer their conventional wisdom above the wisdom of the word and the work of Jesus. As a preacher, I could suggest several areas where we might need to examine our reaction or our obedience to the word of God. Those could be in things big, but which those gathered here have comparatively little strength. The positive side of pontificating on things out of our power is that I bet I could find things the majority would agree with. On the flip side, I could point out things that are immediately local to us, over which the gathered have immediate strength. But those would most likely be harder things to hear. So take it as your Sabbath assignment, which I think would be consistent with John's text. Where are we being obedient? And where are we in rebellion against the word? Where are we working in the day or hastening the night? Are we gaining sight or becoming blind because of how we are responding to the acts of God in our midst? Amen.